Srimad-Bhagavat, third canto, chapter 1, questions by Vidura, text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa Esha Dosha Purushadvit Aste Grahan Prabhishta Yam Apatyamatya Ushnasi Krishnat Vimuka Gata Shri Tyaja Ashu Ashaivam Kula Kaushalaya Sha Purusha Dvidaste Grahan Prabeshto Yamapatya Matya Kushnasi Krishna Dvimuko Gata Shris Tyajasva Saivam Kula Kaushalaya Sa He Esha This Dosha Offense Personified Purushadvit Envious of Lord Krishna Aste Exists Grahan, household, Prabhishta, entered, Yam, whom, Apatya Matya, thinking to be your son, Kushnasi, maintaining, Krishnat, from Krishna, Vimukha, in opposition, Gata Shri, devoid of everything auspicious. Tyaja, give up. Ashu, as soon as possible. Ashaivam, inauspicious. Kula, family. Kaushalaya, for the sake of. Translation. You are maintaining offense personified, Duryodhana, as your infallible son, but he is envious of Lord Krishna. And because you are thus maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible, and do good to the whole family. Purport. A good son is called Apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. The son can protect the father's soul when the father is dead by offering sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. This system is still prevalent in India. After the death of his father, a son goes to offer sacrifices at the lotus feet of Vishnu at Gaya and thus delivers the father's soul if the father is fallen. But if the son is already an enemy of Vishnu, how in such an inimical mood can he offer sacrifice unto Lord Vishnu's lotus feet? Lord Krishna is directly the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and Duryodhana was inimical to him. He would therefore be unable to protect his father, Dhritarashtra, after his death. He himself was to fall down because of his faithlessness towards Vishnu. How then could he protect his father? Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to get rid of such an unworthy son as Duryodhana as soon as possible, if he was at all anxious to see to the good of his family. According to the moral instructions of Chanaka Pandit, What is the use of a son who is neither a learned man nor a devotee of the Lord? If a son is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he's just like blind eyes, a source of trouble. A physician may sometimes advise the extrication of such useless eyes from their sockets so that one can be relieved of the constant trouble. Duryodhan was exactly like blind, troubling eyes. He would be a source of great trouble to the family of Dhritarashtra, as foreseen by Vidura. Vidura therefore rightly advised his eldest brother to get rid of this source of trouble. Dhritarashtra was wrongly maintaining such personified offense under the mistaken impression that Duryodhan was a good son, able to liberate his father. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chuksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinayane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pichayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Adishatahayane Akshno Palam Tadisha Darshanam Hitano Palam Tadisha Gatra Sangha Diva Palam Tadisha Kirtanam Hi Sudur Lava Bhagavata Hi Loke Vancha Kalpataru Bhastya Kripasindu Bhayavacha Potito Nam Pavane Vyovaishna Vivyo Namo Namaha Janalambita Bujokana Kavada Thousand Kirtanai Kapita Rokamalaya Akshav Vishambaro Dhyavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande Jagatri Priyakaro Karunavataro Saesha dosha purusha dvidasti grihan pravishto yama patyamatya tushnashi krishna dvimukho gatashi ijashu ashaivam kula kaushalaya. You are maintaining offense personified, Duryodhan, as your infallible son, but he's envious of Lord Krishna. And because you are thus maintaining an undevotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family. So very nice culture, Vedic culture. Today's text brings up the subject matter of family life and attachment to family life, in particular to wife and children. So this word apatya reminds us of a most famous verse from Second Canto. Deha apatya kalatradishu atma sanyeshu asatsvapi. The same purport is there. In the Second Canto it is directly said, atma sanyeshu asatsu asatsvapi. So the famous statement by Srila Prabhupada of the infallible soldiers. Very nice metaphor, the infallible soldiers. That deha apatya kalatra, one's body, one's wife and children, we feel they're going to protect us. Infallible soldiers. So it is a fact they are meant to protect. As we see here, Srila Prabhupada in the purport begins by saying that. A good son is called apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. There are many teachings that we can extract from today's verse and purport. First of all, this is Vidura speaking, and as Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, he is the youngest brother. Dhritarashtra is elder. So initially, at first sight, there is a breach of etiquette. In Vedic culture, seniority is very much respected, we all know this. And there are all types of seniority, but there are special circumstances. And sometimes, like in sixth canto, it is mentioned, Prabhupada says that sometimes someone is not senior by age, but by knowledge. In the sixth canto, he speaks when there was one priest, I believe the demigod, Vashta, one priest was being appointed. And he was hesitant to be appointed to the position because of being junior. So anyway, it was explained there by Srila Prabhupada and also by the Srimad Bhagavatam that sometimes someone may be senior by knowledge. So the etiquette generally in Vedic culture, it is very, very strict that even younger brother, generally we understand, of course these things day by day are diminishing, but generally we understand that father and mother, they're respectable. Some special respect should be given to mother and father. But we're not so accustomed to give special respect to brothers. That is not in our, especially in our Western culture, that is not, we have not learned these things. It is not there, generally speaking. But in Vedic culture, it is very important also. So the brother, especially in the absence of father, the elder brother becomes like father. And in this third canto, there are many instructions in this regard, even concerning God brothers. At the end of the third canto, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the God brothers, how one should see his God brothers. So here today we will ask the blessings of Vidura, such a great personality. We should invoke his blessings through the grace of Srila Prabhupada, that we may be able to hear good instructions coming from our God brothers. So here we see, initially Dhritarashtra, we know this story, that Dhritarashtra, this is, at this point Vidura is giving him some advice, but he will not take it. Later Vidura will come again and speak with much stronger words, very strong words. And that was already described in first canto. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of life, then Vidura will come again and speak very strongly to Dhritarashtra, although he's his elder brother. So this is special circumstance. We should not take this as an everyday activity to try to give instructions to superior. As a matter of fact, there's a very nice further on here, there's a very nice purport by Prabhupada, nice or very clarifying, very eloquent in this regard. Later on, speaking about Uddhava and Maitreya and Vidura, it so happens that the same Vidura, although here he is teaching, he's giving some good instruction, there's a reason, because there is something obvious. So obviously, so here it's being mentioned, Krishna Vimukha, he's opposed to Krishna. So that turns things around. That changes everything. Someone is respectable. This is mentioned also in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita is mentioned about Guru. That Guru, and there are so many respectable persons in one's life. Guru Urna Sasyat Supitana Sasyat, the father, the mother, the Guru. So many respectable people in one's life. The elder brothers, and other family members. They're considered in one's life. There are so many mothers, even so many fathers. You see in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna worried that he's going to kill many fathers. There are many fathers and brothers, and how many fathers can you have? So it is a question of culture, just like Guru Bharga, that those who are on the level of your father, they're like your father. So you treat them as father, those who are. And this custom Just like it is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how about Nilambara Chakravarti, about how one becomes like a family. Even though someone may be a Mohammedan, the Qazi, he was appealing to Lord Chaitanya in the story when they were coming to burn his house, almost when there was a protest. He thought they were going to burn his house down because he had offended the Sankirtan party. So it is mentioned there, he one of the things, the Qazi, although he was a Mohammedan, he mentioned to Lord Chaitanya that we are very closely related because of the town-village connection, village relationship. So anyway, this is very much observed. And Prabhupada, in this particular purport, in third canto, he mentions, he says, although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of maryada vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of maryada vyatikrama, because by so doing, one loses his duration of life, his opulence, fame, and piety, and the blessings of all the world. To be well versed in the transcendental science necessitates awareness of the techniques of spiritual science. Uddhava, being well aware of all these technicalities of transcendental science, advised Vidura to approach Maitreya Rishi to receive transcendental knowledge. Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as his spiritual master, but Uddhava did not accept the post because Vidura was as old as Uddhava's father, and therefore Uddhava could not accept him as his disciple, especially when Maitreya was present nearby. The rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. So Uddhava decided to send an elderly person like Vidura to Maitreya, another elderly person, but he was well-versed also because he was directly instructed by the Lord while he, the Lord, was about to quit this mortal world. Since both Uddhava and Maitreya were directly instructed by the Lord, both had the authority to become the spiritual master of Vidura or anyone else. But Maitreya, being elderly, had the first claim to becoming the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who was much older than Uddhava. One should not be eager to become a spiritual master cheaply for the sake of profit and fame, but should become a spiritual master only for the service of the Lord. The Lord never tolerates the impertinence of maryada vyatikrama. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interests of one's own personal gain and fame. Impertinence on the part of the pseudo-spiritual master is very risky to progressive spiritual realization. So we see the etiquette is very much observed. But there are special circumstances when something is obvious. Something is obvious, meaning here in particular, that Duryodhan is being offensive to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that regard, as we were saying, in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that even a guru, any superior, including guru, should not be followed if he's going against Krishna. Gurura piya valiptasya karjam karjam ajanasya utpata pratipanasya parityagu vidiyate. So in the same Mahabharata this is mentioned that even if the guru goes against Krishna, recently we had a month or so ago the celebration of Vamana's appearance day, and we were reminded of the story of Bali Maharaj, Vamana Dev, Shukracharya. And Bali Maharaj was the best example of this. He was going against Vishnu, the same thing that is being mentioned here, Krishna Vimukha. He was going against Vishnu, so he had to be rejected. And Hiranyakashipu, he was going against Vishnu, he had to be rejected by the son, Prahlad Maharaj. So many instances of rejection are there. So here, The Vidura is requesting Dhritarashtra to reject Duryodhana. Generally, affection for family members is natural. And sometimes this is misunderstood, that this, we should be careful, especially in our movement. Sometimes great harm is done to the children because this is misunderstood, this thing of affection. It is natural, affection for the children. If there is no affection, children require so much care. So great harm can be done if this is misunderstood. And in the same third canto, so many instructions are there. It is mentioned how one attachment leads us to hell, another attachment leads us to heaven, we may say, to the spiritual world. Leads us upward. So, affection for one's children, it is natural. And if one does not have affection, then one cannot undergo all the sacrifices that are required in raising the children. So especially in our Vedic culture, we appreciate a nice Krishna-conscious family. Because otherwise, society becomes hellish. Again, we're saying this is very dangerous to be misunderstood about this attachment. Attachment means attachment, wrong attachment or proper attachment is in relationship with Krishna. That should be our measurement. You say in that expression, rule of thumb. The rule of thumb. That the measurement should be whether this family life is good for my service to Krishna. Is serving, whether I am serving Krishna with my family life, whether my family is serving Krishna. This is the point. He's telling him, reject him, reject the son, Duryodhana. But why? Because he's against Krishna. That is the point. He's against Krishna. Not that you have to reject son, per se. This is not the meaning of detachment. Attachment has to be there. If you do not take care of the children, then varna sankara. So many times we have heard this expression, we are being warned that we don't want to fill the world with varna sankara. We want to change the varna sankara into devotees of the Lord. The last thing Srila Prabhupada would want us, he has speaking so much against varna sankara, the last thing he would be expecting is that his devotees, his followers, are creating varna sankara. That would be the last thing. And the most important thing, sometimes we are speaking that we need Gurukula, and that definitely is a very great need. But the first training begins at home. So parents, they have to train their children, they have to take care, good care. That's why it is advised that in spiritual life, generally, it is better not to get married. Because once you get married, then you have so many responsibilities and you have to take care of them. After you get married, it is not the time to think that you're a brahmachari. That you should have thought before. So, sometimes we see this, that after people get married, then they court, one should be grihastha brahmachari, concerning sex life, that is something different. But one cannot have the mentality of a brahmachari within householder life, meaning that, no, I cannot take care of wife and children. Then the sannyasis and brahmacharis, the real sannyasis and brahmacharis, have to take care. This is what's happening. Then you have so many ladies and children, and then sannyasis, is it a fact? Sannyasis and brahmacharis have to take care in so many ways, psychologically, sometimes even financially. So this is the wrong thing. So what is mentioned here? So nice family. Prabhupada was actually exalting, praising family life. One of the first books, Krishna book, and you see the dedication to his father. He was so grateful to his father. And he explained there why. Because he made him a devotee. And he was always encouraging him and his other and his sisters, brothers and sisters, in devotional life. So Prabhupada had great feeling. This is not Maya. It is not that Prabhupada was in Maya because he had this feeling for his parents. So he's teaching us, he's giving us example. He gave example on the one hand of appreciating his father and mother. So we now with the Lilamrita we know so many stories how he was appreciating, so many conversations are there when Prabhupada was speaking about his father and mother. And on the other hand, he gave the example also that he remained in household life, although understanding how much of an impediment it was being to his mission from one point of view. Still he fulfilled his responsibility till the last moment. Till the last moment he fulfilled his responsibility. Acharya. Otherwise he would have, his example, we would all have taken his example. So Srila Prabhupada had such an important mission, but still he did not give a bad example of neglecting the duties of training, of the upbringing of children, of his children, and the proper care of his family. So this is very important. Apatya Matya. Apatya Matya, you have that expression in English, that's what you think. So here is Apatya Matya. Thinking to be your son, you think he's your son. Because in actuality, the fact is that we all these relationships are temporary. And therefore they're called the fallible soldiers. The fallible soldiers. Because they actually cannot protect even themselves, they cannot protect anybody else. So one can only be protected by Krishna, and one should only culture devotion to Krishna. And family life that is directed, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said like that in a song. He has explained that all of a sudden I saw my griha and it was Vaikuntha. He has explained in a song. So that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision, because he was such an exalted devotee, and he was also given an example of how to offer one's family life to the service of Krishna. So that is the best thing to do about attachment. Instead of trying artificially to become detached and then have a very gross fall down, instead of doing that, just one should be Krishna conscious householder, which is to learn how to serve Krishna within my household responsibility. That is what this Krishna conscious movement, the Krishna consciousness movement, is created for. Because the majority of the people, they will be happy if they will become grihastas. If at least they will become grihastas, meaning people who are interested in pursuing spiritual life within their household. And the members of this Krishna consciousness movement are requested by Srila Prabhupada to be an example of this, so that people can reproduce at home what they see in the temple, what they see the members of the Krishna consciousness movement doing. So the main thing, of course, the main thing was explained yesterday very nicely by Maharaj, which is the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the chanting of Hare Krishna. So everything begins there and ends there. Household, we should see how much we are chanting Hare Krishna in our house. The children should see this. You cannot cheat your children. They know who you are. They're very perceptive. You cannot be, in Prabhupada's words, one cannot be a drunkard and want the child to be a sannyasi. So people are like that. They want like this. Everybody, in outside world is like that also. Someone may not be a very good person, but he expects his child to be a saint. So that may be by arrangements of destiny. Just like Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, sometimes people like that. But generally everything comes by training. And the training that is perceived, not just the words, not just lip service, but the training that is perceived. The children, they really know whether you're interested in spiritual life or not. And this remains in the heart for the rest of the life. Whatever we have learned, we can see it ourselves. Now we're not children anymore. We are grown up. And now we can see that even in our grown up age, how many things we keep from home, from what we learned when we were a child. Even after more than 20 years in Krishna consciousness, we still have so many things in us that we learned at home. It's very difficult to take away. So, and what mostly is there are the impressions that we received from our parents and what they were. What they were sometime in life will surface in ourselves also. And we will try to be that. We will respect those qualities. So it is very important that the parents are very nice examples of Krishna conscious devotees. And then the children, even if at some point they become rebellious, sooner or later they will resort again to their Krishna conscious training. It will come up again. We saw it also in our own life. We saw how many people rebelled and became hippies and like that, and later they changed from that and went back to their family traditions. So anyway, I have taken too long to just explain this. There are so many things that can be said here. It is a good business also to train properly a son, because then he can protect you. He can take care of oneself when one dies. We don't know what is our destiny, and we are out of reach. When we die, we come out of reach. So who can help us? So we understand from Vedic culture that whoever is left here, our children especially, they can help us. And because if they become devotees, even if they don't go to Gaya, but if they become devotees, then 14 generations up and down become liberated. So it is a very nice system, this very culture. We can see one of the nice things, if from childhood we can accustom the children to read Srimad Bhagavatam and to have the opportunity, for example, to learn Sanskrit, we didn't have all those opportunities. So we should afford the children the opportunities of having been born in Krishna consciousness, in the Krishna consciousness movement, so that these things become valuable to them. So first they have to be valuable to us. We should develop a culture, our connection with Srimad Bhagavatam, our taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, and it will be so nice that they see this at home, and they will keep this for the rest of their lives, and when they're grown up, they will be able to understand so many nice things from Srimad Bhagavatam, even better than ourselves. So we will end there. Are there any questions or further comments? Vishantuni. So, actually now I remember one statement from Krishna book, which means from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada mentions in Krishna book, there is Krishna is speaking, I believe, I think Sandipani Muni or to his parents, most probably to his parents, I can't remember at this point. But the statement is there, that he who doesn't take care of his parents is made to eat his own flesh by Yamaraj. Very strong. So we see like that in Shastra, so many strong statements may be there. So we wonder, what's our position? In Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned, Prabhupada quotes a verse at the end of first chapter when all these family affairs are being mentioned. Especially this, what Prabhupada is mentioning in today's purpose of going to Gaya and offering oblations and offering sacrifices at the lotus feet of Vishnu. So in a purport where he mentions that at the end of the first chapter, he quotes the verse, Devarshi bhutapta ninam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam vinicha rajam. And that is a verse where it is explained that a devotee, gato mukundam parihitu kartam, that a devotee who has given up everything, even family duties, for the service of the Lord, he's not a debtor to anybody. He has no debt with anybody. Because all those responsibilities are taken care of automatically. salvation by him becoming a devotee of the Lord. So, we have to, on the other hand, we are preachers, we have to be expert judges of time, place, and circumstance. And we have to try to, in our case, generally the parents are to train the children as devotees. Generally the husband is to take care of the wife and children and train them as devotees. But sometimes the opposite happens. There's a very nice letter sent here by Prabhupada to New Dwarka, to one of the ladies here, telling her that sometimes the wife has to be the leader, the spiritual leader at home, and be the guru at home, and be the representative of guru instead of the husband. So in the same way, sometimes the children have to teach their parents. So in our case, just like we see here, Duryodhan, we have to approach them kindly. They're in ignorance, our parents, so we should try to give them Krishna consciousness as much as possible, but not at the cost of our own Krishna consciousness. And that should be the rule of the thumb to help anybody. Just like when you are trying to help someone here in Venice Beach, they have obviously the body lifesavers, bodyguards, how do you call them? Lifeguards. The lifeguards. So it is, you all know, it is a practice. They are trained that when someone is drowning, they are trained that you have to be careful not to come, you know, you throw something to them. Because they're so desperate, they might drown you also. So there are techniques of how to deal with someone who is drowning. Because they may be so desperate that if you come too close, they might act in such a way that both of you become drowned. So when we help someone, we should be careful not to be drowned. When we are trying to help someone who is drowning, we should take this into consideration. So we should help them as much as possible within our limits, the limits of our service and our own Krishna consciousness, not at the price of our... But we should give as much help as possible, not only to them, but to everybody else. Apatya-matya. Because finally, apatya-matya, that's what we think, that they're our parents. But we've had so many parents in the past. And we may continue having parents like this if we do not become liberated. So, a devotee, he's a member of a greater family. And we should see also, especially having joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we have this duty of helping the greater family, the whole world. You have a question? Yes. Well, as I explained, just like I say, Guru Bharata means those who are on the level of Guru. So meaning, I don't know whether there is some particular mantra, like there is that mantra, you're mentioning a particular mantra. Ado Mata Guru Patni, like that, Brahmani, and like that. So, so there's a particular mantra, I don't know if there's a mantra like that, but what it is, we do know that whoever is at the level, as I explained, whoever is at the level of one's father, like for example, uncles. Uncles are seen also. The uncles, because they're the brothers, they're seen like that. So we have the same system concerning God-brothers, the God-brothers of one spiritual master. We saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even Ramachandra Puri, although he was so offensive because he was the God-brother of his spiritual master, he regarded with respect. So... there are many instances in which we see this, that people who are on the same level of one's father, then one treats as father, one gives the same regard. And, you know, the mantras are there, as I'm saying, the mantras are where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking of Ramachandra Puri as his godfather, or where Kaviraj Goswami is explaining this, that would be one mantra in that manner. And also in Bhagavad Gita, as I'm saying, Arjuna is saying, all these fathers are here. There are so many fathers. So, fathers-in-law are there. The father-in-law, for example. That's a father-in-law. So that mother-in-law, all these things. The connection between husband and wife is so intimate that they become family, very intimate, just like a brother. That's why in Vedic culture, in the same way you cannot change your father or your brother, you know, you may not like your sister or your brother, but that's the way it is. You have to accept it.
So once you take a wife or a husband, you cannot change either. They become like that, inseparable. Just like your brother is inseparable, you cannot change. Any other questions? Yes? Very good. Thank you very much. There are many instances like that, and therefore one becomes confused sometimes. Sometimes we become confused because we have the... There's one of the books of the Rupa Goswami, one of those, Natak or whatever, it's also the same thing. Sometimes two girls may be, you know, two gopis may be called as sisters, for example, and they're maybe cousins or something like that. So yes, that is true. And it happens constantly, so we should be aware of this fact. Otherwise, sometimes we become confused as to who is who, or what's going on in the different stories we read in literature, because we don't know of the system. The system is we call brother and sister and fathers and mothers, so many other people, although they're not Ado Mata, the first mother, the real mother. One last question? This will be the last question, as it is. We're running late. There was one song that he says his griha. The one point he saw his house as Vaikuntha. That was his case. Of course, we are generally, you know, someone may say, well, yes, you're speaking in that you're an attached household. So, you know, we should understand, it's not that because I'm in this particular order of life, I'm trying to choose some particular protection to our position out of attachment. And that may be there also, but the real thing is we are seeing that because there are that the values in society are lost when the family is not properly established, and this was the worry of Arjuna. And generally, what Arjuna was saying at the end of first chapter in Bhagavad Gita is true. It is not that it's not true. All these things that the women will become unprotected and Parnasankara will come and all these things are to be considered. They're true, and society becomes a chaos, becomes hellish. So sometimes I think we misunderstand this thing of you know, how what it means to be renounced in Krishna consciousness. And one thing is the renunciation of a sannyasi. He has to be renounced in a brahmachari and a vanaprastha. They're renounced in a particular way. Grihasthas cannot imitate that. So the renunciation of a grihastha is different. So there are different orders of life. So the renunciation of a grihastha comes in a completely different way. He should learn how to renounce within family life. But not that he renounces his responsibility and he doesn't give any affection to his children and wife. Then you see what happens. We're seeing, I mean, it's you know, just very clear. No affection to wife, then she looks for affection elsewhere. And we see now so many crazy things happening. Women looking for, you know, married women going with other men. And one of the main complaints they express is like this. And what is that affection? That's another thing. It can't be there. Proper meeting for discussing all these things, but you know, we see it, and society is going to hell like this. So there has to be proper family life. Then from there we go to the next step further. After one, then comes vanaprastha and sannyasi. Then comes vanaprastha and sannyasi. After one has, that was the example of Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada took vanaprastha at 53 years old or so, 54, and sannyasi at 63. So we have to see up to then. You know, he took care very carefully. What was he doing up to then? So we call it very nicely a lifetime in preparation. So obviously, he was preparing his mission. We see that. But from the external point of view, he was taking such good care, undergoing all kinds of difficulties. We can see the letters of those years, 1940, now the letters are published, 1940, 1950. And in those years, we can see those letters, how he was struggling with his pharmacy and so many things he was doing to be able to raise his family properly. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaurabhaktavrindi ki jai, Gaurabhaktavrindi ki jai.